It's Rich, Ken, and Ted. Watch on YouTube and Twitch. Follow on social at Rich, Ken, Ted.
Well, the Red Sox may have won a series, but I think none of us are fooling ourselves. They got a lot of problems. Jaron Duran's been good. Ken, you're starting to...
Thank you.
Your opinions are starting to get a little weight around here.
It's starting.
I mean, listen, we've only been on the air for a little over a month here. Has it been a little over a month?
Yeah, about a month.
But on with us right now is somebody who did an excellent job. If you read the Boston Globe, he's got an article on there right now that is a very well-sourced, comprehensive article about Craig Breslow. The name of the article is, Are the Red Sox Better Off Now Than When They Hired Craig Breslow as a Chief Baseball Officer? And Tim Healy joins us right now. Tim, thanks for coming on the show with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to.
Tim, real quick, before we get into your article, did you hear this Caleb Durbin news about how he on his own went to a batting coach up in Andover outside of the team?
Yeah, I did. I saw it on Twitter the other day. I talked with Caleb Durbin about it, and then he had a few good hits. So it's not uncommon. the in-season aspect of it is a little unusual. My understanding is he went with a teammate that day to this independent facility, the name of which is escaping me. So apologies to the independent facility. He went with a teammate that day and wanted to hear them out and, hung around for a little while. So, I'm not sure Caleb Durbin is attributing his handful of hits to that facility, but nonetheless.
What does that say, Tim, about the lack of resources within the Red Sox? Shouldn't they have hitting coaches and they good enough to where you don't have to go on your own outside of the organization?
I don't think a lack of resources is the problem for the Red Sox. They have hitting coaches. Honestly, a bunch of hitting coaches on the major league staff. They got rid of some others earlier in the season, of course.
I guess a lack of effective resources is the way I should have phrased it.
Well, so here's more related thoughts from me on this. One, it is routine these days for a major league hitter to have his own hitting coach. Usually that happens in the offseason. Oftentimes, that independent hitting coach is in communication with the guy over the course of the season. So that part of it is not unusual. Two, Caleb Durbin was new to the team this year, got to know some hitting coaches, struggled the first few weeks as he continued to work with those hitting coaches, and then they got fired. And then new guys came in, and he got to know them. So it's been a lot of voices in a very short amount of time for Caleb Durbin. Obviously, not a whole lot has worked, so that he is not necessarily seeking, but at least hearing out these third parties is just part of it, I guess. It's been an eventful and largely unproductive year or couple of months for Caleb Durbin, rather.
Well, Tim, over to your article, which is very interesting. I mean, I thought, to me, the most fascinating is the Theo Epstein intel that you got from multiple major league sources. Can you... disseminate that, I guess, summarize what you're hearing about how Theo feels about Craig Breslow right now.
Sure. Well, what we put in the article is that Theo Epstein is disappointed in the way Craig Breslow has basically built a front office, the hardcore analytical nature of it, as opposed to analytics balanced with more traditional pro scouting, et cetera. Which was interesting to hear from, honestly, a variety of people from around baseball and around the Red Sox. And it lines up with a couple of things. One is Theo Epstein made a rare public speaking appearance last week on a podcast on the Foul Territory Network. And I didn't even see this clip until today after the story came out. But he was talking on that podcast about how to go all in on analytics leads you in the wrong direction. And baseball has swung too wholeheartedly in that direction. And what you need is the human aspect as well. And that sort of some of those intangibles that come along with that. When Theo stepped away from the Cubs after the 2019 season, he said that he felt guilty, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't think he used the word guilty, but he basically felt guilty for the role he has played this century in baseball in ushering in this data-based analytical version of baseball, because that is, of course, what he did when he was Red Sox GM. They lost out on Billy Beane. They hired Theo Epstein, and he was a Moneyball-ish figure for sure in the mid to late 2000s, to great success with the Red Sox, of course. And next thing you know, virtually every franchise in baseball is operating with the numbers as number one. And he felt bad about the role he played in what baseball has become, which is aesthetically not pleasing, as he said.
It just seems lazy, doesn't it? It almost seems like you have a... Because you can use analytics as a tool that helps you, but it's the getting to know the players, speaking with them, seeing them play, having scouts there. If you just do simply numbers, doesn't that just seem like a lazy way to manage?
Yeah, I am in favor in journalism. This is true. And in baseball and sports, this is true. It's probably true for you guys as well. I'm in favor of doing the work and putting in the hours and drawing a conclusion and operating in that way. So in journalism, for example, I talked to a bunch of people for this article and learned some things that I didn't previously know and then wrote the article. And if I had just looked at statistical analysis of the Red Sox, for example, then I would not have had the same kind of story. In baseball, yes, the analytics are super important. Nobody really is doubting that, but you need to balance it with, as you said, having people watch these players in person and learning about who they are as people and what makes them tick. And if this guy will fit into this group of players in a, you know, chemistry personality way. So it requires more work, a different kind of work, and a different kind of caring.
Were you surprised, Tim, that basically Breslow, you know, said to you that he kind of maybe underestimated the importance of that dynamic of an interpersonal relationship with the general manager and players? Even though he played for as long as he did, he thought it was kind of, you know, understood, you know, that he didn't have to have that relationship, but now he's learning that he does. Did that come as a surprise to you?
That did come as a surprise to me because, as you noted, Craig Breslow was not only a big leaguer, but he was a big leaguer for a long time, parts of 12 seasons, I believe. So he's a guy who has been traded. He's been cut, DFA'd, claimed on waivers, signed new major league contracts. Like, he, on the transaction log, Craig Breslow did it all. And he won a World Series with the Red Sox in 2013. He had a string of very solid seasons as a left-handed relief pitcher. So I don't know what happened along the way or since then that he would discount or take for granted the value of conversations and relationships. It was also striking because around this time last year, really after the Rafael Devers trade, Craig Breslow was doing the, you know, talking to players on the ground level, building relationships, making himself available sort of thing. And it just seemed like in the last month or so, another round of that. So to answer your question, yes, it did surprise me.
So Tim, after talking to all of these people, does it feel like anything's going to change? I mean, at least it sounds like Breslow was somewhat self-reflective with that comment. And, you know, when you have someone like Theo saying what he said, it almost sounds like he's trying to send a message. But does that mean anything? Like, do you believe that any of this will cause some sort of change in the direction that they're going?
Well, people can change for sure. It would, you know, to win back Theo, for example, if he indeed has lost Theo, if Theo's disappointed right now, then Craig Breslow at any time can toggle back a little bit toward the human element. He is free to do that. If he will, I don't know.
So, Tim, obviously Theo's an owner. He's a minority owner, but he is an owner. I mean, your piece reads like they're trying to light a fire under Breslow. Should I read it that way? Is that accurate? Are they trying to shake him up a little bit?
I would not read it that way because it's not like Theo Epstein came to me and planted the story. Yes, this information is now out there via my story, but it's not like the Red Sox planted this or the Red Sox are going public so that, you know, maybe Craig Breslow finally changes his tune. That's not, what's going on.
You know what?
At least on my end. Maybe that's happening without my knowledge. Who's to say?
So, Tim, and I know this is going to be a weird way to ask this, but how does it feel as far as, like, the chemistry between management, players? I mean, there's been movement, obviously, with a new manager, you know, these people going outside the organization to get batting help. Like, does it seem chaotic, or does it seem at all... Or does it seem like they just don't care? Or is everybody upset that they're not winning? What's the vibe like? Because that says a lot about where this team's head is at.
It all comes down to winning and success on the field. And everything we've talked about comes back to that. If Caleb Durbin had been hitting well, he would not have gone into that other hitting facility. If the Red Sox were winning, then there might not even be a bigger, deeper, big picture look at the Craig Breslow era to date. So it's all about that. If the Red Sox were winning, then who knows? Maybe Theo Epstein would like the way Craig Breslow is going about business. So every effort that is being made by all involved parties, including firing the manager and a bunch of coaches, all of that is in an effort to win, because the Red Sox are out to win. They aren't just moseying along going through the motions. And that's true at the front office level. It's true of the players. It's true of the new manager and coaching staff. So if they did win a few games, or if they went on a hot streak and got back to or over 500, then yeah, the vibes would be a lot better and a lot less desperate. But right now, things like firing the manager, going to another hitting coach, etc., it's just verging on desperation.
Well, Tim Healy, the article is fantastic. As I said, it was very well sourced, and I'm not surprised by a lot of it because I kind of figured that's what was going on. But to hear actually people on record saying it, I would like to think that, as Ken said, it's a fire under their butt. But who the hell knows? Now that it's out there, hopefully someone's tacking it around. The offices over there at Fenway, and maybe we'll have some sort of change. But Tim, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on with us to talk about it today.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much. Hope the show's going well.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right, we are 45 minutes from A.J. Brown o'clock. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes with some more A.J. Brown news. We'll be right back.
Only 45 more minutes until A.J. Brown o'clock.
Oh, hell yeah. New quicksand, right? Yes, yes, yes. There you go, Ken.
I'm going to start counting the number of bands you named during the show that I've never heard of. That's three. You seeing somebody Wednesday I never heard of, Ted? And Quicksand?
This is Quicksand, yes.
Right?
They're old school. Like, they were around when, like, Helmet and the Deftones first came out. Good, good band. And they're still making good music. This is actually brand new, I think.
I don't even know the new album's out. This is like the single that came out.
Ken, yep. Ted. By the way, there is somebody getting screwed right now. I don't know how much of the Stanley Cup playoffs you guys are watching. I am half and half. Every year when the Bruins get bounced, there's sometimes I'll continue to watch it until the Stanley Cup. And then there's sometimes I'm just so grossed out by hockey that I'm done. I'm just all about the NBA, and I'll follow that, and I'm just completely done. This year I've had my eye on it because I think that this story of what's going on with Las Vegas is just unbelievable. The way they had Bruce Cassidy, and then they fired him with, what, like a month left in the season?
Right.
And then they brought in Tortorella, and now they're just...
They can't lose.
They can't lose. But the crazy thing is
Concord's own John Tortorella, by the way.
What's that?
From Concord, our guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's somebody actually found his yearbook quote, and it says, John Tortorella.
I will kill you all.
Yeah. Hey, Brooksy. Remember he used to make fun of that reporter all the time when he'd get in his face?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Larry Brooks.
Yeah, no, he had some quote. It was just like, where's Muskie? And I'm like, what, was Muskie his dealer? I'm not sure. He was like the guy who brought the sweet weed to him. No, Bruce Cassidy's getting screwed right now. So Bruce Cassidy did an interview recently, and I don't know what you think about Bruce Cassidy. Like, I've always thought he was like a dude that if you weren't playing for him, he seems like a great guy. Like, he was always very honest about his players. He seemed like a dude that you'd want to have a beer with. He's got probably got a million stories. But he is also a coach that...
He's old school, right?
He's old school. So at the beginning, when you bring him in, he will right the ship. Everyone will be all behind him. Like, hell yeah, this guy knows. We have a leader in the clubhouse, somebody who actually is going to put us in the right direction. But he does have an expiration date.
Yeah.
And it's what, 3 years?
3 years.
It's about 3 years where all of a sudden the players start to turn on him. And I don't know what goes on there, whether he just starts doing things a different way or they start getting sick of him ruling with an iron fist. I don't know what it is, but there's always a turn, it seems like. However, he doesn't deserve this. Apparently, the Golden Knights are not letting him interview with other clubs.
Right.
And I guess Edmonton's reached out to try to hire him, and the Los Angeles Kings have as well. And he went on a podcast and said, it's public knowledge now, and I would like to talk to them. I want to go to work. I'm a hockey coach. And they're not letting him get a job anywhere else.
They are division opponents for them, so I can kind of get that. Like, would you really let Vrabel interview with the Jets or something like that if you fired him? I don't know how you can control
Dude,
that.
You didn't want him.
Yeah.
Let him go.
But if you're paying him, I guess.
If you think he sucks, let him go to someone in your division.
Yeah, but if he gets hired, then you don't have to pay him anymore. So,
right.
Yeah. So I would be happy with not having to pay him.
It'd be nicer if he went somewhere else, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can kind of handpick.
But
where
at the same time, are you that insecure? I mean, you know, if you're confident in your program, you know, you let him go wherever, so you don't have to pay him anymore.
That says to me that they know he's a really good coach, but there's either a star player or somebody that doesn't get along with him. And that's why they got to get rid of him.
Well, that's
doesn't it feel
here,
like
right?
that?
Yeah. Didn't it feel like it was, Bergeron or somebody?
Well, it was the younger players.
Well,
it was the younger players.
DeBrusque, I think he was hard on DeBrusque.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Jake did not like him.
He and did
so
not like
that
him.
Was he was considered a young up and comer. So I don't know who in Las Vegas doesn't like him, but yeah, here it was the younger players, reportedly.
At least he gets his name on the cup if they win.
Does he? Boy.
Yeah, of course
you let
do.
That happen?
Yeah, of course he gets his name on the cup.
Torts/.
Well, I think Tuukka's name's on the cup, and he didn't even play, that season.
Yeah, but he was part of the franchise and was part of practice.
Dude,
I mean,
listen, Cassidy was there all but like a month ago. Yeah. I mean, he was there for a while.
I doubt he's going to celebrate this one, you know, like he did the first
one.
I
definitely
would. Not as much as the first one, but I'd celebrate.
He gets a day with the cup?
Hell yeah, he gets a day with the cup. His name's on the cup. He gets a day with the cup.
Wow.
That was, hey, you know what? Did you blame Cassidy when he came back here and shoved it in everyone's face?
Heck no, man.
I think he was at Greg's golf tournament this morning. Seriously, they were down at Granite Links, and Cassidy was there. So he's in town.
Good.
Maybe he wants to come on.
The dude just wants to work, man. He wants to work for a team, and they're not letting him, which I think is pretty much a dick move. Dude, you fired him.
Yeah.
It's like you don't think he's good enough, and that made me just think, I think they do think he's good enough. It's just there's one player that doesn't like him.
Where's Hockey Siberia? Where do you go to go away?
It used to be Buffalo.
Minnesota,
but,
yeah. And it used to be like Florida, but now like all the people from the north move down south, and they have good teams down there. So, yeah, I mean, Siberia, geez. Yeah, you know, Buffalo.
We have Carolina in the finals with Vegas. You know, warm weather cities just running rampant. So.
It is wild. But the one thing I think we're all watching is the NBA finals, and this is going to be a great one. Like, this one's going to be awesome.
Are you convinced, or do you think the Knicks will have a shot?
I think the Knicks, I don't think are going to win it. I think it's going to go six games, and it's going to be the Spurs. But it's going to be fun to watch. Trying to see how they handle Wembanyama. I mean, it's every team's got a problem. Like, that guy is just he seems unstoppable. But there were a couple games during that last season where Hartenstein was kind of a dick and got physical with him and slowed him down a little bit.
Well, what's fascinating to me is if the Knicks don't win, if you're right and they lose in six, will every New York fan who is now traveling to every game in the series the Knicks fandom has gone wild? Will they say it's a success? If they lose,
if I was a Knicks fan, I'd say it was a success.
Well, of course, they will. But they thought last year was a success, and they beat the Celtics in the second round. They thought everybody got street named after them.
I mean, they're looking for a title. They want a championship. It's been forever. You know, 1973.
As much as I want to see them crushed because I hate their owner and their fans just drive me crazy, as I said, I think it's the best thing that could happen to the Celtics is if they win. If they win, then it's just you gotta rethink everything. You gotta rethink everything. If you had a Knicks team go out there and beat Wembanyama, oh dude. You better not just sit there and do nothing.
But
this
what does that mean? So like Brad is watching the NBA Finals. If they lose, he's not getting Giannis. But if the Knicks win, he's gonna trade for Giannis. He's gonna get so pissed he's just gonna
I do is I immediately call the Spurs and say, can we have Cornette back?
What a block. The signature block.
I love that player. I loved him. I was bummed they let him go. I mean, he got paid a lot of money.
Yeah. By the way, he's in the last 5 years, he's been in three finals.
How about that?
Wow. Luke Cornette.
He's got a good little game, man.
Hell yeah, he does.
He's got a good little game.
Yep.
I compare him and Kata. So Kata averages about 24 minutes a game, and Cornette averaged about 21 minutes. And Kata was just a little bit, averaged about 10 points a game and three rebounds. And Cornette averaged about 7 points and two rebounds. So they're about the same player. I think Cornette gives you a little bit more from an offensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. I liked Cornette. I wish they didn't get rid of Cornette, but they I mean, I think he's a very much a suitable backup for Wembanyama.
Oh, no question.
But so now OKC, SGA, the total opposite of what we heard from Jaylen Brown and Embiid, calls the season a failure after they lose. But then also Chet Holmgren is a total no-show.
Yep.
To the point where that's their big two. They have to rethink everything, right? Don't they try to trade Holmgren?
Ooh.
If you're going to get...
He's such a good player. He had a bad game.
They won it last year. You can't trade him.
But he was insignificant against Wembanyama, who is now the guy. He is the force in the West.
But
you can't just run that back.
But the thing is that that's not his fault.
Yes, it's his fault.
I mean, listen.
He was one of two in 32 minutes.
Oh, that last game sucked. Like, he was awful. He was horrendous. And by the way, I did like what SGA said afterwards. Like, he that's somebody who said exactly the right thing when the game was over. Do you have it by any chance? Let's hear it.
It was a failure. Like, I failed at my goal. Like, I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. But through my experiences, I learned the most about myself. And I make the greatest amount of increases I have in my career when I fail at my goal and don't get what I want. And I look at this no different. Like, I didn't get where I wanted to go this season. There's a reason for that. Now I have to look at that reason and try to make sure it never happens again.
Oh, Jaylen, if you would have just said that. Oh.
And then he fell on the floor right after.
And then he fell on the floor, right. He just like fell backwards.
At least he scored.
I mean, but come on. Isn't that what you want to hear as a fan?
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to hear.
It's like, you know what? This sucked. We lost. I failed. This year was a failure.
This was my favorite season. Of my career.
That's jarring. That's like jarring to play that after that SGA clip. Because then SGA is just like, but you know what? This is going to make me stronger, and next year I'm coming back pissed.
By no means was this season a failure.
Oh, God, you just, God, it pisses me off. And I'm not one of these people who's saying get rid of Jaylen Brown, but you never
can. If the Knicks win, you are.
Never play those two back-to-back ever again.
To die on your shield is an honor. To come out and fight. Is an honor.
Yeah, I can't. That was really cool.
You wonder which one was the young one, which one's the old veteran.
Yeah.
It's the old veteran that's saying he's happy with his, you know, getting bounced in the first round.
I can't take that. I mean, I really can't. And I like Jaylen Brown, and I want him to stay. But, man, after hearing SGA, it's just like, dude, all you had to say was that.
Ted, if the Knicks lose, is their season a success?
In their minds, they'll think it is.
But it's not, though, right?
They need a title.
They have to complete the deal.
Chew on that. We'll be right back. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtenlieb, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. By the way, did you see the Killers at the Champions League?
Yeah, they got a lot of praise for their high-energy performance.
They could be a Super Bowl halftime show.
There it is.
Is there a song that is played more everywhere you go than Mr. Brightside? It has become the Don't Stop Believing of a new generation.
Well, I like that. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
That's a great analogy.
That's a good way to put it.
It is at every sporting event. It's at every grocery store. And you know what? I don't know one person who doesn't like that song just like Don't Stop Believing.
I'm not sure they have like six songs, though, for a Super Bowl halftime that everybody knows that would, you'd have to get, some other bands involved.
They're Coldplay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like Coldplay did a halftime
show.
Maroon
5 did one, yeah.
So. Maroon for cheese and the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought when the Maroon 5 guy just said, oh, I might just take this shirt off, ladies. And he has an Epiphone tattoo, which is like a cheap Gibson. I don't even know why you put like Epiphone on there. What are we doing? It's like putting GoBots instead of Transformers or Hydrox instead of Oreo. All right. So I do want to quickly talk about A.J. Brown and this Myles Garrett trade. Today is an interesting day because at one, like 30 minutes is when we have been we've been hearing for months now that a number, a first round pick, 2028, most likely from the Patriots, is going to go to Philadelphia, and A.J. Brown will be coming right here and getting ready for camp very soon. But we have not heard anything definitive, even though the Myles Garrett news broke about an hour ago. If you didn't hear, Myles Garrett has been traded to the Rams, which is just awesome because they have the defensive player of the year now and the MVP on the same team. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see, I truly would like to see how their Super Bowl odds went up after making that trade. But what was kind of interesting is that I've seen reports that the Rams were originally in, or at least considering, A.J. Brown.
Yep, they were originally, yep, a couple months ago.
And moving on from A.J. Brown made them think, in their mind, bigger, and that's when they started coming up with this plan to get Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. So you were saying something off the air, Ken.
I mean, they gave up. Jared Verse was a pretty good pass rusher last year. He was PFF. Teddy had him 14th in pass rush rating. So I don't know if you thought. I mean, he's obviously much younger. He's not the player Myles Garrett is, who's two-time defensive player of the year. Player of the year.
He's only been in the league a couple of years, but I think he was rookie defensive rookie of the year, I think.
So they want, Cleveland wanted a good piece back, and they got it, plus picks. But would you, should the Patriots have gone for Garrett if he was really truly on the block instead of A.J. Brown? Now, Garrett is 30, and A.J. Brown is actually a little younger than him when you think about it that way. However, it just, A.J. Brown has this feeling of being a little bit damaged with the knees. You know, he's got, he's draining his knee twice a week leading into the Super Bowl, and they're clocking him, you know, a max like 20 miles an hour last year. He's not the same guy he was 2 or 3 years ago. That's pretty. So I know, Ted, you're concerned about their pass rush.
I would give up 2 first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett.
Ooh. Wow, two.
As opposed to, you know, one first rounder for A.J. Brown. That's how good Myles Garrett is. I mean, he's going to be considered, I think, when it's all said and done, with the best to ever play, Reggie White. You know, 200. You know, he's a guy that can be, if he stays healthy, can have 180 to 200 sacks. You know, so to me, Myles Garrett is a multi-generational type player. I would have given up 2 first-round draft picks to get Myles Garrett.
You think he's better than Aaron Donald?
He's, I mean, yeah, yeah. I mean, Aaron Donald's a hell of a player. One plays more on the outside, so he's a little bit more valuable because he plays on the outside, so he doesn't get double teamed as much. Where Aaron Donald plays more of a three technique over the center guard, so it's. But he was still a dominant force. I just think Myles Garrett can wreck shop a little bit more than Aaron Donald.
Like he had 23 sacks. If you put that with this defense with Drake May, for 1, 2, 3 or whatever it is, however many years Myles Garrett's got left, maybe he's got more than that. Maybe like Reggie White, he can play. Reggie was almost 40.
He played a long time. I mean, yeah, he played 15 years, if I had to guess. Yeah.
But you would probably have to give up, like, Gonzalez and 2 firsts or something. It would have been, I'm sure the asking price was high.
Well, so, hang on. So, what did the Rams end up
doing? So, they gave up a first, a second, a third, and a young pass rusher who was, you know, an ascending guy in Jared Verse.
But he's not a Gonzalez. He's definitely good, but he's not Gonzalez level.
Correct. Linebacker.
So yeah, maybe Verse. A first, a second, and Gonzalez, or I don't know.
I would have considered it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We saw what he did to the Patriots this year.
Yeah,
6 sacks, 5 sacks.
Should the Patriots have been in on this?
Yeah, but if they get A.J. Brown, I won't care as much.
What if they don't?
Yeah, if they don't, then I'm going to look at the season a little bit different, and I'll be curious if you would too. You know, because I just, A.J. Brown, I think, is worth 2 wins.
Do you want Schefter's latest? This is from Philadelphia. He was on 97.5 The Fanatic, our man Adam.
Sure.
And we're going to have his colleague Jeremy Fowler on at 5, but here's the latest from Schefter.
Do I think he's going to be traded at some point here in the next 24 to 48 hours to New England? That would be my best guess and best information. Could something go awry? Always. But they always have not spoken.
Am I covering my ass? Of course.
I expect that they'll resume conversations today. And in the end, I believe that the two sides will come to a deal, as I said to you, how many weeks ago, John?
Around 6 weeks ago, as I was bringing up. Yes.
6 weeks ago, I believe I said. 6 weeks ago, I expect the deal to include a 2028 first-round draft pick. Hmm.
Which, by the way, I'm cool with that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. It's look, if you're bidding against yourself, you probably go, gosh, man, maybe could we've gotten for a second. You know, there is, to me, if this deal was kind of already consummated a few months ago, there's just peace of mind knowing that they're only dealing with you. Then that first rounder 2 years from now is worth it to me. I
don't... best information. Could something go awry? Always.
always.
Could
That's so Adam Schefter right there, man. Oh, my gosh. He's so tired of talking about this story, though, I think.
Right. I can't wait. And that's why I kind of, like, you know, mockingly made this clock. It's like, geez, here we go. Let's finally get this done.
But we had Curran on last week or 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about best receiving duo you've had since Moss and Welker, right? So it's that kind of an impact. With McDaniels and Drake May, who's now in his second straight year with the same coordinator, third year.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting.
Do you know, you realize it's this first time he's ever had a coordinator 2 years in a row? I mean, in college, he didn't have a coordinator for 2 years in a row.
Interesting.
In the pros, he didn't have to. So this is the first time he's had an offensive coordinator for the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row.
Ted, let me ask you this. Why do you think Josh McDaniels is such a good offensive coordinator and such a bad head coach?
Just because his interpersonal skills probably aren't great, you know. It just to manage a team is very different than managing one player, right? Yeah. I mean, it's night and day. And so just because, I mean, Adam Gase was a really good offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
you know, we saw what he did as a head coach. It's a whole different job description. So, and I think what Josh does, he gives the answers to the test to the quarterbacks, and he has a system in which he builds on, and he gives you options to get out of bad plays into good plays, which a lot of coordinators don't do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the beauty of it. And the longer you're in his system, the better you're going to get at getting out of bad plays and into good plays.
Do you think that he contributed to Tom Brady's knowledge, or do you think it was more he was learning from Tom Brady?
Oh, I think that he definitely helped Tom. Oh, absolutely.
So how do you think someone like him could help a guy who just seemed to know the answers to the test already?
Well, Tom didn't at first. He didn't. He needed someone to show him how to get the answers to the test. So he's going to do the same thing with Drake May, right? So, I mean, again, the beauty is that you go up with a play, but you can check into two or three other plays. And, you know, maybe last year he wasn't given that choice because he's still new. You can't overwhelm the kid.
Yeah.
The more comfortable he gets, the more options he'll have at the line of scrimmage. What made Tom Brady great is that he knew where he wanted to go with the football before the snap.
Yeah.
That's what made him great. Drake, when he's seeing the field the same way Tom was with his athleticism, oh, forget it.
Now, good point on Twitch, Game Dog. What about Bill's interpersonal skills? If that didn't submarine Bill, how come it was so damaging to McDaniels? You know, like they were kind of, he tried to be like the same guy, basically.
And I think that's part of the problem is we sniff that out. If you're trying to be someone you're not, if Josh is one way in private and then he gets around the team and then he flexes or he's a hardo or he, it doesn't feel authentic or real. Players will sniff that out and they'll tune you out.
I'll tell you where he lost it. He lost it when he was in Denver. And remember how he went on that tear at the very beginning? It was like six wins in a row, right?
Maybe
he started the season 6-0.
The Patriots, he went nuts.
It was when he freaked out after the Patriots game. No. I'm like, how can you look at him and think this guy's a leader? The way he lost his mind. And then remember, I think they went 0-6 after the 6-0.
They did.
And there was that video of him screaming at his defenders on the sideline.
Yeah. See, that worries me with A.J. Brown a little bit. If A.J. Brown's a diva, I don't know that he is. He seems to be well-liked, according to reports, in Philly. But if he wants the ball, if he's so disappointed he didn't dominate in the Super Bowl, he's tweeting about it 2 days after the win.
I love a receiver who wants the ball.
Are he and McDaniels going to be yelling at each other, or he and Drake? Or
I mean, it's going to be interesting. But people always point to Who Raiders trade for?
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, Devontae Adams. Yeah. He went to the Raiders and had, 1,400 yards under Josh McDaniels? So Josh is, look, if usually Josh doesn't like to just focus on one receiver, but you got to think about last year, Steph Diggs, he got 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
He got 1,100 yards. So is it hard to, is it inconceivable to think that A.J. Brown can't get 1,400 yards this year? Of course he can.
There
sure.
We go. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
I like
Teddy.
The way you're talking.
11 wins.
10 touchdowns?
If indeed he's
yards?
Here.
Yeah. Please.
If indeed he's here. We've got T-minus 18 minutes until A.J. Brown o'clock.
Then what, then what do we call it if it doesn't happen?
Oh, then it's doomsday. We call it minus 2 day. Minus 2 wins. If he's not here, minus 2 wins by the by the way, I agree with Ted on that. A.J. Brown's not here. You just might as well take 2 wins off that calendar. All right, we'll be right back.
There we go. There we go. Band I've heard of. Thank you, Stiz.
Is this finger 11?
Thank you.
You know what that means? Your wiener.
Come on. Don't corrupt my vision.
Wait, does it?
Yes, you see, on my hands are 10 fingers. Where's the 11th one? It's my dong.
Learn something new every day.
Still a banger.
It really figures for this song.
Good song. Good song.
Yep, yep.
Good gift by Milton Williams, by the way. Did you see this come through?
No, I did not.
So Milton Williams at Milton W underscore 12 on X.
By the way, real quick. I just have to, I have to plug something real quick. First of all, we are in the Catches Law. Injury attorney's studio. No fee unless you win. And we have neglected to take any calls this show so far.
Right.
I have not given out the number, and it's on a big day because in just a couple of minutes, it's going to be A.J. Brown o'clock, and boys are going to suck if they don't announce that he's coming here because everyone's going to get, like, super nervous. And, boy, it would really, really stink if he ended up not being a part of this team. There's no reason they shouldn't announce it right at 4 o'clock other than to piss us off.
I think it behoove both teams to get it done right away. However, the Eagles don't have to trade him really until before week one.
3 months, baby.
Yeah.
You can sit on your hands. You can wait for other people to give you better offers.
Right, right.
I mean, and that was the fear. That was the fear that this could happen. And that's why I haven't been able to, like, really, despite Schefter saying, you're a dumbass
but
if you think that this isn't going out. You idiot. you know nothing about the
but
game.
But don't forget, we played last week, too. We played Ian Rappaport had a report at the end of last week saying that there were the two sides were far apart.
Yeah.
And that he could see it getting dragged on.
Don't you think that's Goodell's bidding? Just, hey, pump the brakes on this puppy here. Rap sheet. Get out there and tell everybody it's not done.
Jacina Anderson, who's got to be in a very tough position being a female insider right now,
yes,
she reported the same thing as Ian Rappaport. That
could something go awry? Always.
Always. It always could. By the way, the number, let me give it to you because, as I said, we have not taken any calls. I have not endorsed calls. And to be honest, the call's been really good lately. 617-779-7937. You can also go to the Odyssey app, press that microphone, and leave us a take grenade. We play those in the 5 o'clock hour. Okay, I'm sorry. You were saying, Ken?
Well, Milt was teammates with A.J. Brown in
yes.
Philadelphia. So a simple gif, no wording, just Batman on a ledge with the lightning bolt from, I think that's the animated series, 1992, with the check with Shive or Keefe about that. But that's, I mean, it's, you know, there's the hero on the balcony.
But what would that mean if he's...
Well, you know, you're calling for the bat signals out. You know, you're calling for the hero.
Was his nickname Batman?
I don't know. Is A.J. Brown any connection? But... it seems good to me. I like it. It's impending something.
Or maybe it's like we're watching, just like everybody. We're sitting here on the watch. Well, I do know that there were a lot of players who were interviewed about A.J. Brown, and they're not being shy or diplomatic about wanting him here. Because, you know, a lot of times they'll be like, well, you know, I don't really want to talk about somebody. I like the players on our team. I forget who it was, but it was a handful of players at that celebrity softball thing who were like, yeah, A.J. Brown, sure, that would be pretty cool to have him on the team.
Yep. I think Marcus Jones was one. They had a pretty good turnout, I would, you know, for off-season softball appearance. That gives me good vibes about just Drake May's popularity.
Yeah.
You know, which is not a surprise. He's the star quarterback, but still.
But still, it's pretty, I don't know, it's still impressive. I mean, they packed it out. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys came to support him. I mean, look, he's a budding superstar. I mean, he is at the beginning of what should be an incredible illustrious career, so I'm not surprised that he would get that kind of support. But
Will Campbell, Hunter Henry, Pop Douglas, Mac Hollins, Efton Chisholm, Romeo Doubs, Bryce Behringer, Ramondre Spillane, Jared Wilson, Tommy DeVito, Schooler, Marcus Jones,
Tommy DeVito's agent,
Jack Westover, and Gonzalez. Yeah, that's a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Mac Jones had that same event if guys would show out like that. So that's it's a good sign that they all love this kid. I mean, he's an easy guy to like.
Yeah,
you know?
He seems like it. And we'll be interviewing him every week, and so I need to get some tips and pointers on what tickles his fancy, like what topics he's into outside of football.
But you're right; it's a different clubhouse. The way they talk about things compared to how it used to be, right?
Yeah,
you would never this story would never be a story that anybody would talk about or be allowed to talk about with the old regime.
Right? No,
413 texter, if the quarterback is getting sacked, who needs Christian Gonzalez? I would have traded for Myles Garrett. So that's, you know, back to our previous discussion.
Yeah.
Yes, you would have given up Gonzalez for the pass rusher. Well, I know Ted's worried about the pass rush.
I'm very concerned about the pass rush. I'd feel a lot better, though, if we had A.J. Brown, so I wouldn't, you know, it would
just
maybe mitigate some of that.
Score 35 a game.
Yeah, just, you know. That's all you got to do. That's exactly right.
So Ted, the one thing that is interesting about how this has all not come down is that you've got now this Myles Garrett news that has been announced. Although, did you say you just saw something that you're not sure whether or not? There's so many talking heads right now that you don't know what's real and what isn't.
It's the general manager for the Browns saying that it's the deal isn't done yet. But I don't know. I got some things wrong on Twitter last week, so I don't know what's real.
But Ted, I understand why you would think that, because after the Max Crosby thing, like, we don't know. Like, that whole thing was crazy how that went back and forth.
That's true.
And then you've got, like, players, like, telling everybody that they're gone, and then they have to come back, and they feel like jackasses, which is obviously not great.
Well, speaking of that, the medical. So, you remember we had Elliot Shore Parks on from WIP?
Yep.
Can we just revisit this clip real quick? Do you have any concerns about the knee?
Oh, okay. So, I got to be honest, Ken, this is the one fly in the ointment. Mm-hmm. Out of all the stuff, and I'm like Ted, I've been getting excited about A.J. Brown, because it really changes the dynamic of this team. It makes you always want there to be like one cool new element that you can get excited about. A.J. Brown is that guy. This, however, is the one thing I can't stop thinking about. I'm not saying it's ruining the whole A.J. Brown excitement for me, but let's take a listen, because this was a good clip, and this was, what's his name from Whip?
He's the Eagles reporter, okay. Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah, so I think AJ and his knees have been a bit of an issue over the past 2 years. Now, he was outstanding in 2024. He was very good in the playoffs, and, you know, he had knee issues throughout the playoffs. Last year, I believe it was Pro Football Focus that had this stat. He didn't have a single play over 20 miles per hour where he ran at that rate, and that was the first time in his career. Now, seeing AJ, you know, throughout the week in the locker room, seeing him at practice, I've seen players that deal with knee injuries during the season, and he didn't look like one of those guys. Like, he's not limping through the locker room. He's not moving slower than he used to. So I think it's something to consider for sure. But, you know, if I was the GM of the Patriots, it's not something that would stop me from trading for him.
I don't want to hear any of that. None of that.
I mean, there's a lot of people that think that that's why other teams aren't interested. Is because of the knee concerns.
That does scare me.
Now the Rams are out.
Why does nobody want him?
The Rams have no picks left.
He costs a lot of money. He's older. He's got knee issues, but I think it's something you can manage. Dr. Franke, we had him on last Friday. We asked him about this. Yep. He basically said you could. It's something you can manage. That it's not. It shouldn't be a deal breaker for the Patriots.
Are you shocked nobody else wants him?
A little bit.
But you don't know that nobody else wants him. They had this
bidding. We would
bidding.
Have heard something somebody wanted.
Well, it's 3 months old. They had the bidding process 3 months ago. The Pats came to a tentative agreement for 2028 first. They won, and now they're just trying to keep it quiet for 3 months.
Stiz, have you heard anything about any other team wanting A.J. Brown?
No, it was really the Patriots. And now that you said it like that, that is kind of concerning.
It is. Jackson, have you heard anything out of all the stuff that you've seen out there of any other team wanting him?
Nope. All the speculation is A.J. Brown and the Pats.
Why did you do that? Why did you play that? Now I'm getting all pissed.
Giants, by the way, they have Malik Nabers issues. They went out and signed OBJ and Juju today.
How about that? Did they really?
So they're out of the mix. You're bidding against nobody. So Elliot Wolf might actually be like, you know what? We'll give you a second.
If the Patriots pull this off and don't give up a first round pick, I will I'll buy Robert Kraft a nice hot dog sliced. I'll go up there. You'll like it, right? I will go up there and buy him a nice. I'll wear his Air Force Ones all around town.
There you go.
I think the sweet spot though is a 2028 first rounder. I feel like it's not next year's first rounder, which could be more valuable.
You'll be in the 20s.
What about conditional? Curtis had this idea this morning. Why don't you do a first if he plays or catches so many passes or, accumulates so many yards?
Even better.
or if he doesn't, then he's a problem.
Sure,
a second.
That even would better. Be nice, but I doubt that they would agree to that.
I agree. Well, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of fantasy land, but it would be fantastic if that
was
the way.
Elliot, don't be a Breslow.
All right. We are not going anywhere. We're going to be back in 2 minutes, and you know what happens in 2 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. You know what happens. We are right there.
Only 2 more minutes until AJ Brown.
AJ Brown o'clock is upon us. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2.
Could something go awry? Always.